In our society today, there are two groups who seem to be most under attack, and that would be women and children. And the very two groups that God instructed men to especially protect. In the past, women and children were attacked by treating them as second-class citizens, and even in some cultures, dehumanizing them to the point of treating them as property, which could be bought and sold. And although I would hope to say that doesn't happen, we know that that does happen even in our modern day. But also in recent years, there has come a more deceptive tactic using the bait-and-switch scheme of championing women's and children's rights, which I think we would be for, certainly, but it's under the guise of liberty in a secular sense, specifically sexually related liberty, where women are encouraged to dress and act as promiscuously as they want, and live a lifestyle that they want without objections or repercussions, because it's their body. But how do you think such choices cause men to act, who are supposed to be there to love and protect these women, while men can be just as quickly act as animals as well? And when women have been devalued their God-given worth, men once again treat them like objects rather than the image bearers of God. Likewise, our society confuses children in matters of sexuality and lifestyle, telling parents they cannot correct them, but must support the doctrine of perversion that is often instituted. Now, if women and children seem to be most under attack in our society, and not just by men, but truly this is a satanic work through wicked individuals, then women who have children, that being mothers, are certainly a major target for Satan. Satan's hatred for mothers can be traced back to the very beginning in the garden with Eve. Eve, the name Eve means life or living. Genesis 3 verse 20 tells us, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Great responsibility given to Eve. God is the giver and promoter of life because he loves life, as we already heard this morning from 1 John chapter 4. And in John 14, verse 6, we learn that Jesus is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan hates life because he hates God and all that God stands for, all that comes from God. And so Satan's eyes were fixed upon Eve right from the beginning, deceiving her and therefore corrupting God's created vessel for creating further life, procreation. He not only deceived Eve, of course, the mother of all living, but also tempted Adam to transgress and corrupt the seed of man. But Satan's greatest hatred for mothers and motherhood arose from the declaration of by God in Genesis 3, verse 15, what is commonly referred to as the first declaration of the gospel in the Bible, where we read, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God speaking to Satan himself. Here, not only did God declare the demise of Satan through the seed of the woman, speaking of the Messiah, Jesus, but even more, God signaled to Satan that his work of deception would be undone, that it would not prevail, that it'd be defeated by the work of Messiah on the cross to redeem sinful man. And so double destruction was determined for Satan from the beginning. His work of deception would be destroyed, and he himself would be eternally destroyed in the lake of fire. And that is why he is so determined to corrupt man further and to devastate mothers and their offspring. But thanks be to God, for he has promised to protect and shield his children. We read of that throughout the Bible, especially in the Psalms, and a few Psalms that speak of that. Psalm 3, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of my head. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all those who trust in him. And Psalm 33, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God not only shields those who trust in him, but shelters them from the fiery darts of the wicked, as Ephesians 6, verse 16 tells us. But he also has promised to shield the family of a believer, even if only one parent of that family be a believer. And we get that idea from Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul wrote on matters of marriage and the family. And he wrote by command of God in some instances, but in others he said that this was his word. But this his word was by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so it was direct from God as well. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 7, Paul wrote, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." And then he gave an extensive list of commands concerning families, but these were not uninformed opinions, as I've mentioned, but rather still very much divinely informed, as we read in the last verse of this chapter, in verse 40, where Paul says his judgment was informed by the Spirit of God within him. And so what insight does Paul give concerning the protection of the families and even of those with one believing parent? Well, let us read verse 12 on down to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. A believing husband or a believing wife sanctifies, sets apart the rest of the family. Not that they are saved themselves in the eyes of God, for they must individually trust in the Lord themselves, exercise faith, personal faith, but they are sanctified to be welcomed into the church fellowship under the umbrella of that believing parent and have the blessing of God's presence in their home as the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. And so it is the hope and prayer of every believer that their spouse, if they were not trusting in the Lord, that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit as well. And certainly for their children to believe upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. For ultimately, God desires for husbands and wives to be equally yoked in faith and have them raise their children in the fear of the Lord. But that isn't always the case. God is a loving God and knows how to affect the hearts of individuals. But for that, what we would call a Christian family, a moral example, not that anyone is perfect by any means, there are really three layers of defense for the children. First, there is the outer and greatest layer, that being the layer of defense that we read of in the Psalms, the layer of defense from God. He is our shield. In Matthew 18, Jesus called the children unto himself and declared to his disciples that unless they be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, which we already read here this morning. And he went further on in verse 4 to expand on how the converted is rewarded in heaven, saying, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." But as we also read later in verse 10, he revealed a little bit of the unseen spiritual world and the spiritual warfare that is going on in our world, and how God defends children especially. For in verse 10, we read, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." This is one of those verses that give the idea that there is a guardian angel for each one. Whether or not every person is given a guardian angel from God at birth, I do not know. The Bible doesn't directly say that. But the Bible does speak of the different occupations of angels. One and the primary role is the same as you and I. It is to worship and glorify God in heaven. Another is as messengers, just as we are called to be a messenger of the gospel. So angels were messengers of God and continue to be. And yet another is to protect and shield people, especially those who trust in the Lord. As Psalm 34, verse 7 tells us, "The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them." God certainly has great concern for those who are most vulnerable. And who is more vulnerable than these little children? And so I have no doubt that God has angels looking out for children from the wickedness of this world. Now, within the Christian family, within the sphere of God's defense, is another layer of defense, the outer layer of the family, and that being the father. The father is the head of the household. He is head of the wife and children. He is to be willing to lay down his life for his family, just as Jesus did for his bride. And we read of that in Ephesians chapter 5, showing this defense of the father. "Submitting yourselves one to another," in verse 21, "in the fear of God." So there is a submission by both husband and wife to one another in the fear of God. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself." There is a sacrificial love. That is the protection of the family unit. But within the family, that third layer of defense for children and the group of individuals we especially acknowledge this morning are mothers. Mothers do not only have a special connection with their children due to created biological dependencies by God's design, but also in a special nurturing and shaping of their children's development. Young Timothy serves as a great example of one who had a godly mother, had a godly grandmother to nurture and shape his life. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, we read of that when Paul is writing to him, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Mothers have been ordained and entrusted by God to govern and protect the house within. Where fathers are to protect from attacks from without, much like a security guard would patrol the premises of a house or building from external threats, mothers are to guide the house from within the protected state. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, Paul once again gives divinely inspired opinion on family matters. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, he wrote, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." When it says women are to guide the house, Paul uses a Greek compound word, oikodespoteo. Oiko means house or building. And despoteo means master or ruler. It's where we get that our word, despot, from, an unchallenged ruler. God has given mothers great authority to rule within the Christian home, and ideally it will be exercised in full agreement with their husbands and vice versa. But there are times where motherly instincts kick in, where there has been oversight, perhaps by a father, and a prime example of that in the Bible comes from the Old Testament with Zipporah, the wife of Moses, who in Exodus chapter 4 intervened to correct and save Moses and their sons. In that account, Moses was determined to return back to Egypt to his people of Israel to see how they were doing. And as they were making this journey with his family, they came to a certain inn in verse 24, and God was going to kill Moses, his chosen servant. Why would he do this? And it was because Moses was about to go back to the camp of Israel, and he had neglected the word of God. He had not fulfilled God's commandment of circumcision with his sons. And in Genesis 17, verse 14, it speaks of that command that was given to Abraham, and that Moses certainly would have been aware of and should have been acknowledging God in. Where in Genesis 17, verse 14, it says, "And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." It was a separation that would take place because Moses was not listening to the commands given to God. Because of this oversight by Moses, Zipporah, his wife, stepped in, circumcised their son, to sanctify them in the sight of God and ultimately protect her husband from certain death. What we commonly call a mother's instinct, I believe, is a God-given characteristic of mothers who truly love their children as God intended them to discern any threats which have become immediate to their children. A mother's role is to guide the house, is certainly not an easy one either. One moment, you may be correcting the bad behavior of your children. The next moment, you may be bandaging their wound. One moment, you may be feeding them a home-cooked meal or rewarding them for doing good. And then you got to tuck them in for bedtime story. Many different parts of the day. And this sequence not only happens on a daily, but may happen multiple times in a day. I know correction can come multiple times because we are slow learners. And so being a police officer, a judge, a doctor, a chef, a cheerleader, a world-class narrator, all in one day is not an easy feat. Moreover, to do it with the patient love of God is a whole nother thing. But that is what Christian mothers are called to, or strive for, often succeed in, which the body of Christ needs to protect and promote in this world which often oppresses motherhood. The God-designed family unit is certainly under attack today because Satan knows his time is running short, and the only thing he is looking forward to is an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. Let us do our part in promoting and protecting mothers and healthy families by fostering a truly Christian environment in this fellowship and even in our community abroad, who often don't know. More and more children are raised without knowing what a healthy family is because they haven't learned of Jesus and his design and instructions for family and haven't known the love of God. We know that good godly mothers and fathers will fail from time to time, just as we all do. And so those layers of protection may at times become vulnerable. But in the Christian family, we know that God's protection is present always, that he never fails. And he has longed to protect those who trust in him. We read of that in Romans chapter 8, And verse 35 to 39, a great encouragement for those who trust in the Lord. And I pray that you would be encouraged by these words of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God dwells within you. You know that when we face these difficulties of life, that he is present, even in our weakness, certainly. Today, let us honor God by honoring our mothers and honoring them always. He has blessed us with, who have been blessed to help guide, protect, and nurture us throughout life. Without God-fearing mothers, many of us would be lost today. So let us honor and protect mothers as they help protect and nurture us, even as adults. And I'd like to close with the words of Proverbs 31, King Lemuel, speaking of his mother. And I won't read the whole chapter. I encourage you to read this. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, and then we'll look at the final verses. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then in verse 27 to 31, he closes by saying, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May God richly bless the mothers and households, this family in God, now and always. Let us stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are a God that cares about your creation, that you desire first and foremost to be in a right relationship, and that is only possible through your Son. The salvation that he has promised to those who would humbly come before him to seek his forgiveness and a right relationship, because you long for that. And Lord, for our households here, I pray, Lord, a blessing upon the many families that are represented here, Lord. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for mothers and fathers. Help us to honor them as we fail in that sometimes daily, Lord. We pray for your leading and guidance, for that conviction within our own lives in how we are to honor our parents, especially mothers today, for in doing so, we know that we honor you as well. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are continuously working within our lives, sanctifying, setting us apart for your purposes and growing in your holiness. And we pray for that all the more within each and every one of our lives and within this body of believers until the day you call us to be with you. We give you thanks and praise and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.